Today I want to just minister a message entitled, There Will Be a Test. There will be a test. Genesis chapter 22, if you would just take your Bibles, let's go to the book of Genesis 22. And this is a very familiar passage of Scripture to many of you, probably all of you. We have talked about this before. I want to say I've preached out of this passage before as well, but I want to focus on just a small section of this, a small part of this that I believe is going to help us. One of the questions or one of the statements that I hated to hear, not only in high school, but even in Bible college. You know, it's an amazing thing. When I went to Bible college, I was just 18. I was just a young guy. And I thought I knew a lot, you know, because I grew up in a pastor's home. And so, you know, Bible trivia, I could nail it, you know. We used to have in our youth group, we would have what's called sword drills. Anybody know what a sword drill is? A sword drill is where you take, and you are not allowed to have your finger in your Bible, as I have. In fact, I'll take it out because I got my marker there. And you hold the Bible over your head with one hand like this, which is now a challenge for me. But you hold the Bible. No, I'm just kidding. You hold the Bible over your head like this. Everybody does. And the leader picks a verse out of the Bible that you must look up and stand to your feet and be the first one to read it. Should I try? No, I'm not going to try that. that would be a good test, wouldn't it, whether or not we know our books of the Bible? I'm coming over here to talk to the four on this side, too. I don't want them to be, you know, it's like a boat, you know, one of those sailboats. They're kind of on this side while everybody else is keeping it from tipping over. But, you know, you hold it over your head and you had to, as fast as you could, look up the scripture verse and be the first one standing to do it. And every now and then, I could beat Angela Hersey, who was part of our youth group, but she was like lightning. I'm telling you, Angela was one of the fastest ones in the group. She could just, she had fast fingers and she was to her feet reading many times. But on occasion, I'd get her. But, you know, we'd have stuff like that that we would do. I thought I was pretty good because I was good at sword drills. I was okay with trivia, things like that. But all of a sudden, I got to Bible college, and I very quickly found out how much I did not know. And I would love to tell you that the older I've gotten, the more I understand and the more I know. And sometimes that's just not actually the case. Sometimes the older you get, the more questions you begin to have. Questions that are not doubts, it's just questions. And you wonder about things as you read the Bible. But I know this. I know that even in Bible college, I realized I was not in youth group anymore when all of a sudden, after about, you know, the first couple of weeks of class, the teacher said, all right, we're going to have a test. And, you know, we groaned in Bible college as much as I used to groan about a test in high school. Nobody wants to have a test. Nobody wants to take a test. In fact, he doesn't come to this church. Goes to another church on Sunday mornings. But on Tuesday nights, you know Brother John Thomas from India. He had to take his driver's test. And we prayed, but apparently we didn't pray hard enough for him. Because he had to take his driver's test for here in the States. And he went to driving school. He went to the DMV, got in the car, and sure enough, failed, just like that. Nobody likes to be tested. You would love for them at the DMV to, you just show up, they look at you, and they say, all right, you pass, you're good, here's your driver's license. We would have a scary, scary road, and scary enough as it is. A test is important for all of us. We have to know what's in us. A test finds out what it is that you are made of, how much you know. Now, Bobby, not long ago, he finished going to school for HVAC, for heating and cooling. And some of the stuff that he showed me back a long time ago, I want to say one day he might have had his textbook here when he was here cleaning the church and I came and I was there. He showed me some of this stuff and I thought, uh-uh, no way. This is not for me. The stuff that you have to learn, the things that you have to know, people's lives depend on it. Did you know that? Their lives depend on what these guys learn in HVAC school. They literally, thank God, you know, your house doesn't blow up. The next time you see your heating and cooling guy, you need to give him a hug. But Bobby had to be tested. Anybody that does anything, not long ago, I went with the, you know, your mother that gave you the name. I went with that name. G had to be tested for being a lifeguard. And he was nervous. He was scared. We prayed for him. I prayed for him. He passed his test. He had to do that. Now, he's got some other things he's got to do before they let him go save lives. But literally, people's lives depend on the test that he took and will depend on it in the future. Brothers and sisters, there will be a test. There will be a test in everyday life and things that you want to accomplish. Sometimes, maybe it is now that you have to go back to school for whatever reason. Maybe you want to get a better job, but you will have a test. There will be a test. But in our spiritual lives as believers, we have to know that there is going to be a test. Now, I know that as believers, we don't often look for scriptures like this. In fact, let's just read these first two verses of scripture. Genesis 22, verses 1 and 2. And the Bible says this. Sometime later, God, notice this, tested Abraham. I'm reading from the NIV. It's a little different in your version. It's all right. But the Bible says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, and Abraham replied, here I am. Then God said, here's the test. As a father, I understand how this would feel. Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. That, brothers and sisters, is no ordinary test. We like the scriptures that say, and the Lord blessed. You know, we search for the ones that give us some encouragement. We search for the verses of scripture in the Bible that seem to indicate how it is that God is going to minister to us and bless us and help us and be able to be with us. And there are plenty of scriptures in the Bible like that. There are lots of things both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. But there are times in our lives where we come across these verses of scripture that we have to stop for a minute and realize the brevity of them and realize how powerful they are and how important they are. Because if your teacher does not test you on the things that you know, how will you ever allow them to come to the surface? How can they ever grade you? How can they ever move you along? There has to be a test to see if you are assimilating that knowledge and getting it into your mind and your heart and getting it down in there. Now, I know how we study in school. We study like this. Let me study for the test, and after that, forget it. I mean, remember that. Candice is laughing really loud because that's exactly what she did in college, right? And Brandon's going through it now, too. You know, you study for what you got to know, and then you just move on, you know? But every now and then, those things that you were tested on comes up. And I want to tell you that the kind of testing that God allows to happen in our lives are things that may not necessarily we think we need to go through. Why do I need to know this? Why do I need to go through this? Why do I need to deal with this? Why is it that this is happening right now? I got to tell you, in my household over the last 2 days, I've asked that question a few times. Why now, Lord? Why all of a sudden? It's all heating up for back to school. There's all kinds of things going on. We're trying to, you know, be whole for our oldest daughter's birthday, which is coming up this week. We're trying to just get ready for back to school. The things at my wife's job are just heating up. There's lots to do, a lot to go on, a lot that she has to do and deal with. There are all kinds of things. I'm trying to figure out what it is that God wants me to do and how God wants us to progress and to grow and to become what God wants us to be. And then all of a sudden, it seems like things just sort of begin to happen that are outside of the scope of what it is that we think ought to happen. I want you to know that God had fulfilled his promise to Abraham, and he said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Well, how was that going to happen when Abraham had no son and his wife Sarah was barren? And now Abraham is also, both of them are approaching old age. They're past the point of being able to have a baby and being able to have a child brought into the world, even if Sarah had been able to have a child. And yet God had fulfilled his promise. And now all of a sudden, now outside of what it was that it seems like Abraham was progressing forward to do, something blindsides him, and it's nothing but the word of God, and it is God who is showing up to test him. The Bible says, let me read it in the New Living Translation. Later on, God tested Abraham's faith and obedience. I like that. God tested Abraham's faith and obedience. God called to Abraham. Yes, he replied, here I am. Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will point out to you. That was the plan of God. In Abraham's mind, there had to be something different that was going on. Wait a minute. What am I going to do? Well, we sort of understand in Scripture later on how it was that Abraham was thinking, what was going on in his heart and his mind, because the Bible lets us know in other places in Scripture, in Romans and in Hebrews, it tells us that Abraham reckoned that God was able to raise Isaac to life. Even if Abraham had plunged that knife into his son's heart and allowed that situation to go all the way through, the Bible indicates that Abraham believed. He believed God so much that the test that seemed so out of the ordinary and so strange, all funneled into the plan of God. I realize today that it might be difficult for us to see the plan of God and what it is that we're going through. In the test that you might be carrying today, in the thing that you are going through, I realize it's difficult, but we've got to begin to see as God sees and see the bigger picture and say with Paul as he writes in Romans that I know that all things work together for good according to his mercy. I want you to know that all things work together for good to those who love him. Look at the plan today. There are three areas of this I want you to see. First is the plan. And the plan was this, and I've already begun to touch on this a little bit, that God tested Abraham. God tested Abraham. There is nothing more dreadful than the test. There is that in life that we are tested with that we didn't study for. You know, at least in school, your teacher, hopefully, has let you know what it is you need to know, for the most part. They have gone through the coursework. They have discussed all of the things that they believe you should know, and some will even give a study guide to help you. Kind of go through, if you can study that study guide, you will be able to at least get a good grade, and a grade that will be passing on that test. But there are times in our lives where as believers we are tested by God, and there is nothing, absolutely nothing that you can do to study for it other than to keep your nose in the book, the Word of God, His Word, and keep yourself in the place of prayer. That is where God desires all of us to be, because that is the place that we are able to say yes to the Lord and to submit to the test. Now, I want to tell you this. The other thing is this that you need to know about Abraham. Abraham lived before there was ever any written sacred scripture. He lived before the law. He lived before anything was ever written down, at least that we know of. And so all Abraham had to verify the plan of God was God's word. All he had was to say, yes, Lord. Now, he had seen God show up and deal with him and talk to him and commune with him and give him a promise. And he had seen God fulfill that promise. But now God is going to do something and say something and tell him to do something that seems contrary to the promise. I want you to get this into your heart and into your spirit. Sometimes God shows up and it seems as though the path or the trajectory of your life is contrary to what God had planned. There are no mistakes with God. You need to know that the plan of God is still the plan of God, even if it doesn't look like the plan of God. God is ordering your steps. Do you love the Lord? Are you the righteous? Are you the called? Is God first in your life? Then I want you to know that what God has planned for you is something great, even though there will be a test. You see, in the walk of Christianity, we also have to know, not that God has to know, but we have to know what we're made of. There are times we say, oh, I can't go through that. And all of a sudden, you find yourself right in the middle of that. And you say, God, I don't think I'm going to make it. I don't think I am going to make it. And all of a sudden, God shows up with his grace. He shows up with his power. He shows up with his strength. He shows up with a timely word from heaven. He shows up in the place of prayer where you begin to call out to God. And the Bible lets us know that in the middle of all of that, you begin to pray in the Spirit and pray with groanings that can't be uttered, because there's something on the inside of you. It is deep, calling to deep. There's something on the inside that says, God, I'm going to hold onto your hand and I'm going to make it through. I want you to know that the plan of God is still the plan of God, no matter how strange it looks. We see in the plan of God, God's timing. The Bible says later on in the New Living Translation, or sometime later, the Bible indicates, and that indicates, that God had a specific timing in mind. And as I began to question even our own experiences, it was just the craziest thing. My poor wife, as she's yesterday morning just coming out of one room to another, didn't realize how close her foot was to the door frame. And her toes just met the door frame. And the door frame did not move. Bones move. Things like that move. And the pain that she has been in over the last day, I just, you know, as I sat there, I just began to think, God, I don't understand the timing of all this. I'm not really sure what's up here. I don't know. This has just sort of been one of those summers where, you know, you want to go, you want to spend time, want to spend time with my kids and my girls and make sure that, you know, they know Daddy loves them and is around, and all of a sudden I'm sitting around trying to relieve pain and all of those things, and they're just kind of looking at me like, you know, what in the world is going on? What's happening in all of this? And I don't understand the timing, but I know this. I know that God has a timing. God's got a plan. I don't know what's going to be worked through all of this. I do know and believe that God is trying to soften this old guy a little bit and just make me a little bit more tender to the needs of others and to the hurts and the pains of others. But I know in all of this, there's even more that God desires to do. And we think this is just so outside the scope of what God's plan is. And yet there is nothing that is outside the scope of his plan. Folks, God knows how to right the ship. He knows how to take care of what it is that you're going through. God knows what you're dealing with today. He's got your steps ordered and he will help you. Do not question the timing of the Lord in the way as to say, God, you've messed up on this. And I know we question sometimes, but don't accuse God of not knowing what he's doing. Don't accuse him of saying, God, this is just way the wrong time here. Just bad timing, inappropriate timing in the situation. God has a specific timing. And I want you to know that in the time that you're dealing with it, you will not crumble. You will not go down. You will not bow down so low that you can't get up. God will strengthen you. God will pick you up. And in his time, he will exalt you. I want you to see God's method. Here it is. It hasn't changed. It is this. He said to him. These notes, these things that I'm quoting through here is out of the New Living Translation that I just read to you. God's method, and God has always often tested us simply by his word. Sometimes it's through circumstances, but other times it's through the word that the test will come and challenge our faith. Sometimes we read something in Scripture and we think, that's not for me. And we're saying it's not for me because, not because deep down we don't think it's for us. We're saying it's not for us because we don't want to face what it is that God is challenging us with. You see, when we read the Bible, when we get into the Scriptures and we get into the Word of God, God is going to test you by his Word. He is going to test you in your heart and in your... You see, the psalmist said it this way, search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. You know what? None of us are perfect yet. So God has to just... He has to work in us by testing us, and he does that often through his Word. The Bible says that he said to him, or said to Abraham, he spoke to him. His word came to Abraham. His word has to come to us. And God will test us in the situation, in the plan of God. The test will happen as we encounter the word. Now, the easy thing is to say, nope, not for me. Lord, that's for somebody else. When you know deep down in your heart, you know that God is talking directly to you. That ain't for nobody else. God's not giving you a word for somebody else. He's giving you a word for you. Oh, but I depend on what other people... You know, I'm tired of us, you know, depending on a word from somebody else. You got a word from somebody else. You got a word right here. How about we start looking into the word rather than looking to some... Well, that person, I really believe they were going to speak a word of prophecy over my life. And I was just waiting. I remember one service I was preaching at in Scituate, Massachusetts, many years ago. And I was preaching at a four-square church. And people were lined up in front of me, and I was praying for them at the end of the service. And at the end of the meeting, there was this one lady at the very end, and I came to her, and I felt the Lord speak to me to speak to her, to give her a word. And the word was simply this. Don't depend on words from other people. You've been passed over before, but God knows where you're at. And all of a sudden, she lit up. And I talked to the pastor afterwards. He says, you have no idea. We had a service. There was an evangelist. Somebody came through, and he gave a word. It was a small church. They met in a school. He said he pretty much gave a word over almost everybody in the congregation except her. She was like the only one. She walked out the door and was wondering what in the world. She was disturbed by it. I had no idea that happened, but I know this. I know that sometimes we depend too much on a word, you know, that somebody has. What's the word of the Lord for me? Here's the word of the Lord. Get into the Bible. Get into the Scripture. God will challenge you. He'll test you with it. And you know what? He'll encourage you all at the same time. Find out what the Bible says. Amen. I want you to see not only the plan, but the person. You see, the test is always, always personal to you. Nobody knows what you're going through like you do. I can't explain it. You can explain to me what you're going through, and maybe a little bit I can understand and I can comprehend, and maybe a little bit I can feel sympathy and empathy and all of those pathies that we're supposed to feel. When people are explaining what they're going through, and I can hear it, and I can maybe understand a little bit, But nobody knows the test that you're going through like you do. And God personalizes it a little bit. He personalizes it for you. The Bible lets us know here that God tested Abraham, a man of faith, the father of the faith for us all, essentially, is what the New Testament tells us, because he believed God, and the Bible says it was counted to him as righteousness. The test is always personal. For the test to be real, it has to be personal to you. He goes for the things that mean the most to you. There are things in your life that God will challenge you and test you on and test you with that are very close to you. God does not test you with something that does not affect you. Essentially, the devil sort of uses a similar tactic. He doesn't come after you and tempt you with a thing that does not tempt you. That would be foolish. Well, it would be foolish for God to test us in our spirits and test us in our Christian lives with things that are not, you know, that maybe we sort of have in order. He tests us on the things that aren't quite right. He goes for the things in our lives that need to be challenged and need to change or maybe need to be strengthened. The Bible indicates that it is a personal thing. Abraham had followed God's word in faith. And you would think that when Isaac had been born that the testing would be over. You realize God gave the word about Isaac many, many years before Isaac ever showed up. In fact, I want to say it was roughly around 20 to 25 years. So that's a long time for Abraham to be tested on whether or not he's going to hold on to the word of God. And now God is testing him again. This time with something that is so difficult. Abraham had received the promise of God. And sometimes the important test is after the blessing has come. Right? Cindy gave the testimony a little while ago, last Sunday, when they were here, she gave the testimony about how it was that when God began to restore them and restore their finances, restore, it's not 100% by any stretch, but began to restore things, so all of a sudden now I'm not playing the praise music as much. I'm not doing the things that I used to do when I was in the dark moment of my life. I want you to know that sometimes the testing has to come after the blessing. Because sometimes in the blessing, we forget the blesser. And we can't do that. We can't forget God in all of this. Listen, God loves you too much to let you go without a test. The Bible tells us this. God told Abraham to offer his son. And then he says this, take your son, your only son. And then he adds these words. In the NIV, it says, whom you love. Take your son that you love. He knew how much Abraham had rejoiced in Isaac when he was born. He knew how much he loved this little baby boy. He knew how much this boy meant to him. And now he's not a baby anymore. He's growing up. He's bigger. He can understand what's going on. As he's going up the mountain, he's asking his father questions, wondering what's going on. And just, Abraham's saying, God will provide. Oh, hallelujah. God did provide. God provided a lamb for him. And in that situation, I want you to know that God knows how personal some things can be in the test. God is not interested in giving you this general overall, test. Oh, you're good. He gets to the very heart of where we are, to see what we are made of, and for us to know what we're made of. Listen, I don't know what you're going through today, but I know this. I know that the trial or the difficulty that you may be feeling and sensing in your spirit and the things that are happening in your life right now may seem incredibly personal. In fact, there are times we go through things that we're not interested in telling anybody else. And I get that. As a pastor, I get that. I don't always, on Tuesday nights, I don't read every word of prayer requests because sometimes I know how personal they are. And I don't want to put out, too much personal stuff. here because it can become fodder for gossip and we can begin to focus on things we shouldn't be focused on. We need to focus on prayer and praying for those requests. But sometimes those things are so intensely personal. You know what you're going through. But I want you to know that in as personal as they may be, there is God loves you. He cares for you. He knows what you're going through and he has personalized this test for you. And you will come out on the other side. You will come out victorious. Do not allow the enemy to make you think that somehow God has forgotten you, that God does not care about you, and that it's so personal. How could he do that? How could it get more personal than take your son, your only son whom you love? How could it get more personal than Job losing all 10 of his children and his bank account at the same time? How could it get more personal than that? We go through things and we think it's just sort of out there on the fringe. I want you to know that God has a personal plan for you. And that personal plan is for you to come out on the other side. Well, how are we going to do that? He provides the power. And here is the power. I read it in the New Living Translation. There are two words that are used, and it is faith and obedience. Faith and obedience. See, they go hand in hand. It is the obedience of faith. The true power to come through the test successfully is by trusting in God and obeying his word. There's no other way. You can't say, well, I believe God, but I'm not going to obey his word. It doesn't work that way. Oh, I believe in God, but then you live like you don't believe in God. Somebody once wrote a book called The Christian Atheist. It's the person who says, or the, it was a Christian Atheist. Craig Rochelle, I think it was, wrote this book. And it essentially is this, is that we say we believe in God, but then we live like we don't. And that indicates that we're a fool, because the Bible says the fool is said in his heart, there is no God. If you're saying it in your heart, you're not living it. But faith says, I'm going to live the word of God. This is the power to come through the test. I want you to get this and understand this, that faith, brothers and sisters, is what's going to lead you through. It was faith that Abraham had that got him through this personal test. It was the faith, believing in God, that God was able to raise Isaac from the dead if he went through with it. And the Bible indicates it was the last split second. Some even have suggested that the Hebrew brings out the idea that he was on his downward motion and then stopped. When God spoke to him and said, Abraham, I see, I believe that you trust me, that you have hope in me, but go over there. Look, there's a ram over there. I want you to sacrifice that. I see what you're made of. You now see what you're made of. You now trust me. It is through faith. Now, Abraham could have said, when God showed up and said, I want you now to go and offer your son, your only son, Isaac, on an altar. And Abraham sat in his tent and said, okay, God, I believe you. I believe in you, God. I believe in you. 10 days later, oh, Lord, I'm trusting. Now, it's not about trusting. It's trusting enough to go do what God says. It's trusting enough to go and actually be a doer of the word rather than just a hearer only. The Bible does not commend hearers. It commends hearers and doers. It is as you believe in what God has said, you will obey. Obey what God has said. These qualities that you thought you had, but the test makes you feel as though sometimes you have a little bit less. But nonetheless, God is going to bring it to the surface and help you to make it through with flying colors. When you trust in him, you will obey him. And I know that there are times in the middle of your test and your trial, it's difficult to obey God, but we've got to obey God and believe in him and know that he will help us. God does not reveal the end of the test. Wouldn't you love it if he would? It would have, you know, this would have been a whole different story probably. I'm not sure if it would have even been as long as it is. If God had said to Abraham, all right, Abraham, I want you to take Isaac up on the mountain. I want you to, you know, go up and offer him as a sacrifice. And oh, by the way, you're not actually going to have to go through it. What kind of test is that? It's like a teacher putting down a test, you know, on your desk and saying, okay, here you go. You have an hour to complete it. And then takes the test away from you. Okay, that's good enough. Thank you. You get an A. That would be foolish. Absolute silliness. You see, God does not reveal the end to us because he wants us to trust in him to the end. You see, I think with everything that we go through, brothers and sisters, that as we approach the end of the test, we're at that breaking point where we think we can't take anymore. And then all of a sudden, it's a little longer and a little longer until finally the timing of God is done. And the timing of God changes so that now you can come through on the other side. I don't know how long that is. I don't know how long it is for any of you of what you're going through and the test that you're dealing with right now. But I want you to understand that the power to make it through is going to be your ability to trust in him. Trust in a God who will take care of you. Trust in a God who raises back to life. Trust in a God who resurrects. Trust in a God who's powerful to bring you through. You've got to trust in a God like that. And as you are trusting, you walk in obedience to him and to his word. It doesn't get any more basic than this, but nonetheless, that is what God asks us to do. It is the power to make it through. There is going to be no other way. You say, well, I'm going to depend on my mama's prayers. No, you can't depend on your mama's prayers. You've got to depend on what God has provided for every one of us, and it is faith. It is by faith from first to last. What Paul says. You start with faith. You don't pick up works, but you do pick up obedience. Obedience always comes and is born out of faith. Works is different from obedience. Works is trying to impress God with what you're doing. Obedience says, I believe what God told me to do. Let me go fulfill his command and then move on to the next thing. There's a difference in those things. And God has chosen each and every one of us to come through victorious. Brothers and sisters, there is no way that you and I can make it on our own strength. But we will make it as we trust in the Lord and trust in his power. God will help you to pass the test. There will be a test, folks. It's unavoidable. You cannot escape it. There will be a test. And when that test comes, know this. God has given you everything that you need that pertains to life and godliness. God has not provided a bunch of nothings to you. He has not provided a bunch of as they call it in the software world, where they promise something and never deliver it. It's called vaporware. It doesn't exist, but they talk about it. That's not what God does for you. God, the Bible says, has provided everything that you need that pertains to life and godliness. He will help you through this test. The Bible also tells us in the book of Hebrews that he is able to help those who are tempted. He is able to help those who are tested in their hour of affliction. The Bible tells us, and Paul writes to the Corinthian church and tells the Corinthians that there's no temptation that's taken you but what is common to man. But God is faithful and will, with the temptation, make a way of escape so that you can stand up under it. I want you to know that that is not something, brothers and sisters, we should take lightly. That is a promise from the Word. And when you're tested, you need to hold on to the Word of God. Get into the Bible. Get into the Word. Get into the place of prayer and know that God is going to bring you through. There is no devil in hell that can drag you down and put you down and say, I'm going to beat you now. He can't beat you. He only thinks he can. He can only lie to you, and we know the truth, so we're not going to fall for his lies. The test will come, but you will come through victorious. Stand to your feet right now, and I want you to give God praise today for what it is that God is going to do in your life.